You've got your outlines there in front of you. Feel free to fill those out, but if you do fill it out, please take it with you. I already know what the notes say, so I don't need you to leave them for me. Even if you take them and put them in the trash, you will only slightly offend me. If you put in the trash upstairs, you won't offend me as much. So what we want to deal with tonight, am I on? Am I hitting in that thing? Okay, that's fine. As long as it's hitting, I don't need to be any louder. So something that we're going to deal with tonight within our Renew You. Remember, we've been talking about, we talked last week about music theory. You had to endure my science lesson for you last week. We have talked about our relationships. We've talked about salvation. We've talked about quite a bit within our Renew You or our university. So what I want to do tonight is talk about something that's not actually super popular to talk about, because a lot of times we kind of just tune out what we're going to be talking about tonight. And what we are going to be talking about is something called Literature 101. Now, in your schools and in your college classes, you will have things like literature, you'll have English lit, you'll have all these different things, and most of the time they're terrible and you don't want to have them and you don't like them and all those different types of things. But tonight, what we want to talk about is and study a little bit is God's Word. So when all of us say these things, when all of us talk about God's Word, there's automatically something in our mind that cues off as, I already know all of this. I don't need to be preached to. I don't need to know more about God's Word. I already know all these things. So why would you say something else about it? And I want to ask you tonight to not do that. To, as we talk about God's Word, to be open and honest with yourself about where you're at in your relationship with Christ. To see if you truly are studying God's Word, if you're truly trying to comprehend it, or if it's just, I'm reading it to tick it off the calendar, or I haven't even looked at it. Some of you haven't spent any time in God's Word in the past month. So where are you at tonight? Now, I will tell you this. I don't know. I know that a lot of you don't like to read. And that's fine. All right, that's fine. I actually enjoy reading. I really do. I can sit down and read books just constantly. It's fun for me. And I like all kinds of books. Now, my favorite are like the Mitch Rapp or Jack Reacher style books where, like, you know, the guy just goes and he's unstoppable and he's this war machine and all that stuff. I love those books. But I also like the dragons and I like the wizardry and all that different stuff of like the, not fairy tale, like Cinderella, but you know what I'm saying, like the mystical books, those types of things. I like all kinds. Now, I woke up a couple months ago when the new Mitch Rapp book came out. The Mitch Rapp book series is what American Assassin was based off of in theaters. It's based off of that book series. So I woke up and I was super pumped to get the new book. Like, I really was. I was looking forward to reading the new Mitch Rapp book. Now, it wasn't that great as the other ones were, but I was looking forward to reading it nonetheless. And as I was studying for this tonight, I thought to myself, how often is it easy for me to get excited about other books, about what Mitch Rapp or whatever else I'm reading? We're reading something right now called Your Best Year Ever by Michael Hyatt as a staff. It's a goal-based thing. And so we've been reading through that book. I enjoy reading it. But you know, so often I wake up in the morning and I have to force myself to read the Bible. Like, I don't get up and go, where is it? You know, like, I don't feel this desire to go search my Bible out, find it, and read it. I just don't. Now, I know you're thinking to yourself, shouldn't you? Like, you know, you're standing in front of us talking about the Word of God. Shouldn't you be the one that's like, I love it, man. It's awesome. Like, you may be thinking that, but I don't. I'm just like you. I don't wake up with that drive to read God's Word. But I want us to look at a passage in Scripture. It's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Some of you guys already know it. And again, you're going back to that whole, just tune me out because you know these verses. But I want to read some verses beforehand. Verse 10 starts with this. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, how I'm long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, my afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Pause for just a second. If you've never suffered persecution, I don't mean people throwing rocks at you. I don't mean like, you know, where they're showing up at your door with a gun. I don't mean any of that stuff. What I'm talking about is people making fun of you for believing in Christ. Then you're at odds with this verse. Because if you've never experienced persecution based off of what you believe, then no one knows what you believe. So all who live godly will suffer. It's not may, it's not they could, it's will. So based on how you live, will suffer persecution. Mine is stupid, but I have. I've had people shut doors in my face, and I've told them, like, I've had my grandmother tell me not to talk to her anymore. I've had all that stuff just because of the gospel, because of living like Christ, quote unquote. What have you suffered? Ah, that's a different message. All right, so all who live godly will suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, we see that around nowadays because people say, hey, just ask God for wealth, blink, 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 and you will get lots of wealth. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, God's Word, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's our key verses. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, all of it. And it's profitable, or it's useful for doctrine, what we believe, for reproof, for that injuring, that faithful, the wounds of a friend, for correction, that's the wound, but how do you heal? And for instruction in righteousness, now that you've healed, how do you keep walking in it? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, if I were to ask you, I'm not going to, but if I were to ask you who all would agree with those two verses, probably all of us would raise our hands. Now, we might have some in here who say, oh, I don't know that God's word is true. I just don't know that it's the true thing. Okay, just because your teacher said it isn't, go study it for yourself. I will not take the time, but I will tell you this. If you study out God's word based off of historical accuracy, factual accuracy, prophecy accuracy, all that stuff, you will have no other doubt than the fact that God's word is true. So based off of that, most of us would say 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is absolutely correct, but then some of us haven't opened our Bibles. And we would say, man, this is absolutely correct. God's word is profitable for all these things, but I have no idea what it says. And I'm not blaming you. I'm not like saying like, you terrible person, because I'm the same way. Because I wake up and I'm like, I'm in the Old Testament again. You know, like I don't enjoy waking up and just diving into God's word. I really don't. It is something that is within me that has to, my will has to take over. By the way, there are a lot of times I don't go to the gym, but when I go to the gym early in the morning, I ain't want to get up. When the alarm goes off, it's not like, wait, you know, I don't do it. It doesn't happen. I wake up and go, that's why I told you guys I had to buy the alarm that I have to go into my bathroom and scan the barcode of my deodorant to get the alarm to turn off so that I have to get up and get out of my bed and in the bathroom, turn on the light before I can go back to sleep. All because I don't like to get up. It's not like I wake up and I'm not a morning person. I don't wake up and I just, or anything like that, okay? So based off of that, there's got to be something in me. There's got to be a belief in this verse that I will read God's word because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for me. So there's got to be a commitment just like I'm going to go to the weight room because it's profitable for me. Even if I don't like it, even if I don't want to do it, I need to go do it because it's profitable. The same way I need to have that same commitment in me. Now, you've got three blanks in there. We're going to talk about some practical things. Because one of the first questions I get asked, I want to read my Bible, but how do I do it? How do I read my Bible? I will give you at the very end some very practical, like, YouVersion app reading stuff, okay? Right now, we're going to talk about if you were to take 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3 and you were to read through it, how would you dissect it to learn from it? So we're going to talk about that. So number one is observation. Number one is observation. There are a couple things within observation that you need to note. Number one is terms, not words. Words can be used to mean a lot of things, i.e. trunk. Trunk can be a trunk of a car. It can be a trunk at the bed, at the foot of the bed. It can be the trunk of a tree. How we get the meaning is within the context, and that becomes a term. If I were to say to you, hey, look at that tree trunk, you don't go, at what car? Because you know, based off of context, the term is the tree trunk. So when you're looking through Scripture, don't just study words, study terms. Within itself, it's nothing bad to say, okay, love in 1 Corinthians 13, what does it mean? But what does it mean within the context? Okay, because love has a couple different Greek words with it, has a couple different meanings with it. Because love could be an illicit love, like, you know, a husband and wife type of love. It could be a brotherly love, Philadelphia. It could be all Eagles. It could be all those different things based off of how it's used within context. So look for terms, not for words. Number two is structure. You can discover the content of that author's message just by reading the surrounding verses. So like you don't have to get all these different tools to help you understand. Just read whatever is around the verses. Read the other verses around it. Emphasis, the amount of space an author gives to it. Notice if there are 8 verses about a certain topic, there's emphasis placed on it. Okay, that means that there's something important about it, that you're supposed to study it. Repetition, the same thing. 1 Corinthians 13, it uses the word love 9 times in 13 verses. 9 times in 13 verses. That's repetition. And if you continually see something, you should say, huh, maybe that's something that I should study. That's part of observation. There's relationships between ideas. There's the cause and effect. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful in a few things, therefore I will make you ruler over many things. Cause and effect. As you study these things, there are observations you make. This doesn't mean that you look at that and go, my life verse. It just means you notice there's a cause and effect. If I do this, God will do this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a cause and it is an effect. If I do this, God will do this. It is one of those things. The ifs and thens. My people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray, then, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Ifs and thens. These contrasting different ideas that you can see, this cause and effect idea that you can see. And also, the questions answered. We know this one because of the old Casting Crowns song, but who is this King of Glory? And he answers it, okay? These questions that get answered between it. And then lastly, comparisons and contrasts. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you, those types of things. So that's observation. As you read through God's word, yes, sir?
While we're at it, is 2 structure?
No, sir. 2 is going to be interpretation. Oh. These are just some bullet points underneath of observation. Yeah. Good question, because I did say number 2. You're right. Should have said letter B or number B, right? So, thank you for support. So as you read through scripture, it doesn't matter if it's 2 verses or if it's 200. It doesn't matter if it's 3 chapters or 300 chapters. It doesn't matter. As you read through scripture, don't just do this. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, bound to disobedient parents, and thankful, holy, and only. Check. Did it. What have you gotten from that? I wouldn't look forward. If you talk to me like that, I wouldn't look forward to talking with you again. You don't go talk to somebody at your school and go, hey, bad day. Don't talk to me. Bye. Because the people be like, I'll never talk to you again. I won't talk to you. If you come and I say, hey, how are you doing here? Bad. Don't talk. Bye. I'll be like, great, this was fantastic. That was a great interaction. Let's never talk again, right? Because that's not a normal interaction. Your normal interaction, at least what you look for in other people, is to answer your questions, is to talk back and forth with you. So as you study God's word, it is a living, breathing book. Don't look at it and just be like, ugh. Look at it and ask questions. Get into it. Understand the observation of it. Look for things in it that are interesting. Don't just read it and say, I have to read it. Look for observations, for things that you can see. Just like in science, I know I'm a science nerd, but just like in science, when you can pick up a rock and you can observe things about it, when you look at it, you don't just go, it's a rock. If you were in science class and they say, look at the rock, you look at it and you say, it's brown, it's rocky, it's big-ish. Like you make observations about the rock, okay? You make observations about the rock. So I'm going to tell you this, make observations about the rock of our foundation, God's word. Read it and make observations about it as you read it. Number 2 is interpretation. Interpretation. This is where it gets fun. So you read through it, you understand, or you look through some of these cause and effect things, and you understand where everything is at, okay? You've observed what's going on. Well, it doesn't really help to just be like, oh, there's a cause and effect there. Great reading. And then get up for the day. Right? There has to be, it'd be like me going to Ruth's Chris and ordering a ribeye steak and going, man, that's a ribeye. Check, please. And then getting up and leaving. You'd be like, you're an idiot. Like, you came to get the greatest steak ever made and you come here to eat it and then you go, I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to leave. That's the difference between observation. When that plate slides on, I go, it's a steak. It's a steak. However, I interpret it when I start cutting it and putting it in my mouth. That's the same with God's word. You observe it by looking at it, but as you start to cut it up, as you start to interpret it, that's when you start to feed off of God's word. That's when you start to get the things that you need for the day. Now, this is a dangerous thing because some people will read verses out of context and they will take it to mean something that it doesn't mean. James, in chapter 2, James talks about faith and works. And he goes back and forth, show me your faith by your works, and I will show you my faith with my works, and all faith and works. And people go, oh, see, you have to work for your salvation. God doesn't just provide it for you. You have to work for it. See, James talks about it. If you look through James chapter 2 and you go back and forth between those two, what he is saying is you are saved by faith. But if your faith is dead, if you don't work, if you don't show people that you are saved, number one, because we learned about in Timothy, you won't suffer persecution. But number two, your faith is dead. It's not alive. And I would dare say, by the way, get me on this. I would dare say that you don't actually have real faith. If people cannot see Christ in you, then I have to doubt if Christ is in you. Because Christ makes a new person of us. He renews us inside. And when we continue to do everything that we did before Christ without any remorse at all afterwards, then we are not a new creature. We're the same. And so many of us go forward at camp or we go forward at church service and we say, oh, I want to pray the sinner's prayer. Lord, what's the rest? Oh yeah, I believe in you. What was it? Save me. Amen. And we say, oh, I'm saved. But it's not here. It was just here. We just looked and said, oh, you said that? Okay, I should say it too. Do not, James is saying, show me your faith by your works. If your faith is alive, so will your works. So context is at letter A. Thank you, Brady. Underneath of it would be context. Okay, I don't have spaces for it, but context. Number two would be cross-references. Scripture interprets scripture. If you look at James chapter 2 and say that, oh man, I need to get saved by how well I act, go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So as you, scripture, interpret scripture. Don't go off, oh, God's given me this newfound idea that we are the superior race if we have 144,000 of us, okay? Use scripture to interpret scripture, okay? Use scripture to interpret scripture. Cross-reference, there's culture. In that day and age, the culture was different than ours. When you read about in Timothy and in Titus about women covering their head in church, you go, should I wear a bonnet? Okay, it's different culture. Different culture. So it was written at a different time. Now, within that, those aren't commands from God that you cover your head within the church, okay? We're talking about things that were practiced laws back then and practiced rules back then. But when God says that you're supposed to follow Christ, that doesn't care. That doesn't matter what the culture is. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's the same no matter what. Then conclusion, based off of your context, based off of your cross-reference, and then based off of your culture, make a conclusion about it. And then, I love you guys, but get some consultation, okay? Don't just say, oh, I found this new thing that no one else has discovered. If no one else has discovered it biblically, you've probably discovered something in error. Okay, get some consultation. I would love, if you text me and said, hey, I read this verse today, I'm a little confused because I've looked at the context of it, I just don't understand, is it saying this? You are getting consultation. I went to Bible, it doesn't make me better than you, but I literally for 4 years studied a Bible. That's what I did. So as I studied the Bible, I'm here for you to say, is this correct? Because you haven't been there for 4 years to study the Bible. So is this correct? Am I reading, am I interpreting this correctly? Get some consultation. Number three, application. This is when you swallow it. This is after you've chewed on that delicious steak and you've realized, let's use James chapter 2 again, that your faith is dead. None of your friends know you're a Christian. In fact, if you were to walk into your school and say, hey, who wants to come to 412 Student Ministries with me? I have this church I go to, Harmony, and this youth group that I'm a part of. Would you guys come with me? They'd be like, you go to a youth group? You go to church? Like, if that's their response, then when you read James chapter 2, you should be going back going, well, crap. I probably should have some alive faith and not dead. This is the application of it. This is when you swallow, by the way. Sometimes it's hard to swallow. For instance, we are going to talk one of these times about manners when it comes to how we deal with God's word, namely how we act when God's word is opened. Because here's the thing. I love all of you guys. I really do. But if I were to put you and God's word on a balance scale, this is going to go a lot heavier. So I'm here to tell you that we have fun, we enjoy life, but Jesus is better. But Jesus is better. This is more meaningful to me than your conversations. This is more meaningful to me than your Snapchat that you're checking. This is more meaningful to me than Instagram. This is more meaningful to me than anything you could say to each other during the time it's opened, than anything you could do during the time it's opened, than anything you could do outside of here when you're reading it. God's word is our sole foundation upon which we stand. So when we have these times when there's things that are hard to swallow, oh, by the way, we will have a night where we deal with how we act when God's word is open, but that this is just a preview of when we do that, right? I won't tell you so you won't because you won't show up, but we'll deal with that another time. But it's hard to swallow sometimes. When Pastor John talks about being all in and he talks about going and saying we need to go boldly, and I look back at the times last week, by the way, one of the times that I remember is I was at Starbucks and God laid it on my heart to give somebody a True Life card. And I normally have no issue with doing it. I really don't. True Life card are the things we have. I don't know if I handed them all on or not. I didn't. I've got one left. There are these True Life cards that we have up on the table upstairs, right? They got truelife.org on the back. It's questions, video, answers to any question you could have. You can go through and click on all these different things. And it's got our You're Invited to Harmony on the front of it. We make them so that they fit in a wallet so you can carry them around easily. I was in Starbucks. And in the drive-thru, and God laid it on my heart to give the person one of these and say, hey, I just want to personally invite you to Harmony. Honestly, I have no problem doing that. I really don't. Like, it's not like I'm like, here you go, as I hand it. It just doesn't bother me. But that time, I said to myself, this is how lazy I was, okay? I don't feel like getting my wallet because I pay with my phone. I don't feel like getting my wallet out and giving them a True Life thing. When Pastor John stood up and talked about being all in, which means going boldly and giving the gospel to people, it hit right here. Now, I had given, I always take six at a time, and I try and give out six a week. If I had not had this one in my, or this is from this week, so the sixth one on that day, if I hadn't had that one, I would have sat there and gone, oh, man, I've done what I felt like God wanted me to do this week. But it was hard to swallow. It really was. It was hard to swallow. But application doesn't always make it sweet. In fact, sometimes some things can be sweet and they're actually bitter, right? Like they taste sweet at first, and then later you're like, if you eat too much cake, later on you're like, you know, like it's sweet going down, but at some point it fills up and it's just nasty, right? It gets nasty. So is the application of the Word of God. You will have random applications as you read things because your observation is going to be different. Your interpretation shouldn't be, but your application. Let me give you four questions to ask, and then we're done. Number one, under application, how does the truth revealed here affect my relationship with God? How does the truth revealed here affect my relationship with God? Does it affect my relationship? Does it mean that I have to do something different? Does it mean that there's a cause and effect? Is there an if and then? What does it mean for me? Number two, how does this truth affect my relationship with others? When God says in Matthew to love your enemy as you would love yourself, does that truth affect my relationship with others? Well, yes, it does. And that person that came to your mind that you wouldn't want to love, it means for them too. Number three, how does this truth affect me? Am I reading through Philippians 4:8 and seeing that I'm supposed to study and meditate on the things that are honest and true and just and of good report and all those things? And like we talked last week, I look back and my music doesn't line up. How does this truth affect me? Does it mean that I need to do this? Does it mean that I do that? How does this truth affect me? And number four, How does this truth affect my response to the enemy, Satan? How does it respond, or how does it affect how I respond to him? So here's what you do with this information, with the observation, the interpretation, and the application of it. Satan desperately tries to distract you from God's word. Desperately. That's why when you wake up, you just want to hit snooze. That's why when you try to read, your phone starts buzzing. That's why when you try and read on your phone and the notifications start popping down from the top and you're like, I got to check it real quick. And then an hour and a half later, you realize you've been surfing Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook for like an hour and a half. You're like, oh my gosh, I started reading the Bible and now I'm here. It's not like it's abnormal. It's what Satan wants to do, because God's word is our only attack weapon. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's the only thing we have to attack with in the word of, in our spiritual armor of the spiritual soldier, is the word of God. So as you read it, as you observe, as you interpret, and as you apply these things, Satan doesn't want you to. So let me just say a couple applications that came to mind while I was studying. Instead of going to your boyfriend or girlfriend when things get tough, go to God's word. Brittany, I'm going to talk to you and I. Instead of us going to each other when things get difficult in life, let's go to God's word. Let's, when things get rough and emotional and you're in that emotional high or low, don't go to music, go to God's word. When things are going wrong, go to God's word. When things are going great, go to God's word. Because, man, you need to build up the sword. You need to be ready for it, because Satan is going to attack you. So here are a couple of things that I will say. I have read probably 30 articles on different Bible study methods, and then another 60 or 70 Bible reading plans, just to see which ones are the best. The best one that I have found for students is Josh McDowell's Youth Devotions. It's on the YouVersion app, so if you have a smartphone, you can download a YouVersion. And then you go in there, there's plans underneath of there. Josh McDowell's Youth Devotions. He gives you like 6 verses, a little devotional thought with it, and it is great. Let me ask you this. I was going to tonight bring a sign-up sheet for those who would commit to read at least 15 days in February. At least 15 days in February. Now you're like, well, why not 28? Well, number one, we're on 7. But number two, because what happens when you put too stringent of responsibilities on yourself is you fail one day and you go, whatever, no longer getting 28 in 28 days. I guess I'll just give up now. So if you have a goal, man, make a goal of Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're going to spend 10 minutes in God's word with a prayer, praying God's word, faith-based singing, meditation, the things we talked about last week, whatever it is, 3 times a week, That doesn't mean Wednesday night, okay? Doesn't mean whenever I open it for you. It means you on your own opening God's word. 3 times a week, make a commitment to open God's word and to study it. Because I'm telling you, I love you guys, and I say this without a doubt. I would take a bullet for anybody in here. I really would. But I do not love you enough, or I love you too much, to not put God's word on the shelf it should be. And God's word is preeminent. It is everything we do here. It is what I base everything I teach you off of. And my advice I give to you is based off of that. So learn it, know it, so when the trials of life come, you are prepared and ready. That you're not struggling, going, what do I do? You go to God's word and you observe, you interpret, and you apply it, and you make it through with your sword of God's word. Let's pray. Father, tonight I know that there are many things I wanted to say and didn't. There are things that, Lord, I thought just, man, this is something that should be pointed out and I've forgotten to say it. But Lord, I truly believe we prayed before service earlier this evening and all day today that you would direct my words. Lord, I pray for those who are listening tonight that they would have gotten something out of the message. Lord, I pray that we would have students, because you are better than anything, that they would read your word. And Lord, with the same intensity that they would look at their Instagram notifications to see who's liked their most recent photo, they would read your word. Lord, they're not always going to feel like doing it. I don't. But God, would they make a commitment with the same intensity that they check their phone, would they check your word? Lord, I pray for myself that tomorrow as I wake up, Satan will attack my mind tonight. It happens every Wednesday. And Lord, I'll feel like this message didn't do what it was supposed to do. And Lord, he will try and distract me tomorrow from spending time with you based off of tonight. But Lord, I pray that you would help me, the same way I tell the students, that you would help me to approach your word as living and breathing. And Lord, as I would approach something else that I was excited about reading. Refresh me in your word, God. And it's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.